The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Good morning, everyone, and shalom to you. That's the Jewish way to say hello. And it's the Jewish way to say peace and blessings to you. So thank you so much for being able to be here with you. I haven't been back to this church for some time. Actually, it might be two or three years. Yes, something like that. And yes, we're all getting older day by day, as was just mentioned. But the Lord is good. And the Lord has been always faithful and gracious and blessing us. And so it's great to be able to be here with you once again on a Sunday morning and to share with you. Now, some of you might be new. I don't certainly recognize everyone. There seems to be a few new people here. And so I'd like to just tell you a little bit about who I am and the work that we do and then share with you from the scriptures this morning. Now, I have a PowerPoint that tells you about our ministry. We are a ministry that is dedicated to sharing the gospel with Jewish people. Now, you remember that Jesus himself was Jewish, and all the disciples who followed him, all those guys, Peter, James, John, Andrew, all the disciples were Jewish people. Now, I also was brought up in a Jewish family, and as Jewish people, we brought up not to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is not our Messiah. He is the Christ and the Messiah for the non-Jews of the world, but not for us Jews. That's the kind of way that I was brought up. And so when I first heard about Peter and James and John and all those people, I thought they were non-Jewish people. So I was quite surprised to find out that they, in fact, were all Jews. All the disciples were Jewish people. And the Bible that we have today, the Bible that has been written under the inspiration of God, was written by Jews. All the books of the Bible, except possibly for the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, was written by Luke, who may have been a Gentile who became a believer in Jesus. And so it was a real discovery for me as a Jewish person to find out that Jesus was Jewish, the disciples were Jews, and the New Testament and the rest of the Bible, of course, written by Jewish people. So I came to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Not just for Jewish people, of course, but for the whole world. And that was some time ago now, 1984, when I came to faith in Jesus. What is that? 29 years ago. Yes, my goodness, that sounds like a long, long time ago. But it seems also like yesterday. And ever since I came to faith in Jesus, God gave me a desire to share the gospel with other Jewish people. So our ministry, bringing the message to the original messengers, is what we started 18 years ago in Australia, here in Melbourne, to bring the gospel to the Jewish people who were the first messengers of the gospel to the world. And now most Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. Now let me just tell you, I have a card here that you can come to the table and grab one. Perhaps you could pop this on your fridge or wherever you may see it so you can pray for our ministry. This postcard is a map of the Holy Land. Now, I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about Caulfield. Okay? Caulfield is the Holy Land of Australia. That's where all the Jews live. Practically all the Jews. Now, it's very interesting. There's a map here. Now, I might have this on the PowerPoint. Let's just have a look. It's a little bit further on, in fact. I'm going to skip a whole lot of stuff, but don't worry. Just look at this map for the moment. Okay, so, yeah, there we go. Well done. On that map, there's a red boundary. Now that red boundary is a special designated boundary, and it's designated by the rabbis, the teachers of the Jewish people. They say that within this particular boundary, there are special dispensations of, in a sense, grace to people on the Sabbath. Now you know that in Jewish tradition, the Sabbath laws are very, very strict. You're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to touch money on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to walk very far on the Sabbath, only very short distances. So there are very strict Sabbath laws. Now the rabbis say, though, however, if you live within that red boundary area, which is called an eruv, you will then be able to push a pram on the Sabbath. Normally that's considered work, but if you live in that area, you're allowed to do it. And also, if you live within that red boundary area, the eruv, you're allowed to carry certain objects. Like if you're in your home and you need to take a big vase off the top shelf and put it on the bottom shelf, you're not normally allowed to do that on the Sabbath because it's work. But if you live in this area, you're allowed to work. You're allowed to do this, should I say. Now that red area is really some of the southern suburbs of Melbourne. It includes Caulfield and Alstonwick and Eastern Kilda. And that's why all the Orthodox, strict Jewish people want to live in this area, because they're allowed to push their prams and do things like that. So that the idea is that boundary is actually a physical boundary. There's a wire that the Jewish community has erected with permission from whoever. There's actually a wire on the telephone wire poles all the way around there. One unbroken line. So that's like a walled city. And within this walled city, there's, as I say, certain rules that you don't have to follow. Now, still though, the Sabbath laws are very strict. But because of some of the dispensation of grace, a lot of Jews want to live there. Now, that's also a problem for those of us who want to do ministry in that area, because that area is very expensive to live in. And so it's a very expensive area. But this is where we have our ministry. And you see the little orange dot in the middle of that eruv. That is the ministry of Celebrate Messiah, which is our mission organization, and also the congregation called Beit HaMashiach. Beit HaMashiach, Church of Christ, if you like. And we are a Churches of Christ in that area. So you all want to try and say that word, Beit HaMashiach. That's good. HaMashiach. Clear your throat at the end of that word. So that's the Bamber Road Church of Christ building that we use. And that's where we have our services. We don't have it on Sundays. We have it on Saturdays. That's where all the other Jewish people are having their services. Now, in that area, there are 45 synagogues all around us. 45 synagogues. So this particular postcard has a kind of a schedule of all of most of those synagogues. So you can pray for Jewish people. We want you to pray for the salvation of Jewish people, that they would come to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, that they will recognize that Jesus is our Jewish Messiah, and that he has paid the penalty for our sin, and that as we heard from our brother in the message for the communion, that the gospel is according to the scriptures. Which scriptures? The Old Testament. And that's the part of the Bible that Jewish people do accept. They just don't accept the New Testament. We want them to accept the Old Testament and the New Testament and see how Jesus and the gospel is all according to the scriptures. So that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do. Now, another thing that we're doing in that area is the Bamber Road Church of Christ is just about to fall down. I look at your great facilities here. It's wonderful. Our facilities are old, and it's shocking, really. It's terrible. It's going to fall down soon if we don't do something about it. So we want to help it fall down. In fact, we want to demolish it and build a new building. So it's a pretty bold program and project. Now, I have a sponsorship form. This is not to sponsor the building project, but some crazy guy who's part of our congregation is a marathon runner. Now, he, next weekend, together with two other runners, are going to run around the bay for 230 kilometers. Okay, crazy people. So they're going to go all around, all the way from from Albert Park Lake, all around to Geelong and Queenscliff, get the ferry across and come all the way back in 36 hours. All right, so if you would like to sponsor them, there's a form that you can use for that, and the proceeds will go to the building of our new Messianic Center in Caulfield. All right, let me just tell you also about this particular calendar. This is what we call a Jewish art calendar, and it follows the Jewish year, as well as superimposed on it is the normal Roman calendar that we follow every day. Okay, so we, according to the rabbis, are in the year 5,774, not the year 2013. And this is the biblical calendar, right? This is how the Bible chronology of the Bible itself. So the year 5,774, they say that's when Adam was created. We just had a new year on the 4th of September. So happy new year to you all. We're now in the year 5,774. Now, the photos here are all photographs of Israel and of Jerusalem and the real Holy Land. Now, these are stunning photographs. Stunning photographs taken by yours truly. All right. Really beautiful. It's beautifully done. The calendar's lovely. Now, what's good about the calendar? It lasts not only for 12 months, it lasts for 15 months because the Jewish year has already started in September. And it'll go to next year, September, October, and then we add on a few extra parts for the calendar. But you'll be able to see which Jewish holiday is coming up next. You'll be able to pray for the Jewish people and remember to lift them up before the Lord. So if you want to purchase a calendar, come see me afterwards. The calendars are $20. As I said, good value for money because it lasts 15 months. Okay, so we do our work all over the world, so there's a map somewhere on that. And we are part of a ministry around the world. So we're not only working amongst Jewish people here in Australia, but we work amongst Jewish people in Russia, in New Zealand, in Israel, of course, and 16 countries around the world. All right, so let's move on to the message I'd like to share with you this morning. When I come, I like to try and teach a little bit about the Jewish roots of our Christian faith, a bit about the background of our faith, because remember, as I said, the New Testament was written by Jewish people as well as, of course, the Old Testament, and it was written within a Jewish context. So to truly understand Jesus, to truly understand the Bible, you need to come to understand something of the Jewish context in which it was written. And today I want to share with you a message which I call the power of the priestly blessing. The power of the priestly blessing. And often we think of praying for people and blessing others. And this is a biblical calling. But there's a special blessing that I want to introduce you to today that perhaps you've heard about, perhaps you've used, but I want to give some of the background to that. Now, who has seen the movie, or perhaps, got the video out of the story Fiddler on the Roof? Who's seen Fiddler on the Roof? Okay, only three or four of you. Now, folks, if you want to have a good day, go get some popcorn or chips and all the nice things that you like for movies. Sit down and get the video Fiddler on the Roof. It's about 3 hours long. It's a story of the Jewish people in Eastern Europe, in Russia mostly, in the time of the end of the 1800s, early 1900s. So it's a really very, very good story of their lives, but also tells a very sad part of the story, and that is the persecution of the Jewish people in that area. And towards the end of the story, there's a great persecution of the Jewish people in Europe. In Eastern Europe, that's when many of them left to go to America. Many left Eastern Europe to go to South Africa. That's when my family came to South Africa. That's also when some Jews came to Australia. And at the end of the story, the men of the town gather around the rabbi. And they say to the rabbi, "Rabbi, is there a special blessing for the Tsar of Russia, the king of Russia, because he's the one who was encouraging the persecution." And so the rabbi kind of strokes his beard for a little bit and he says, "Yes. May the Lord bless him and keep him far away from us." Now you might recognize that blessing. The first part is this blessing which we call the Bekat Kohanim, the priestly blessing. And it comes from Deuteronomy, of course. Numbers chapter 6. And it's a beautiful blessing, a very special blessing. It's a beautiful prayer, the real part of the prayer, not the one for the Tsar. But the complete prayer is very beautiful. It's been used by Jewish people for thousands of years. It's also been used within Christian liturgy and prayers as well. And it's called the Bekat Kohanim, the blessing of the priests. It's a very simple prayer, but yet it's also very profound. And God introduced this prayer to Moses, saying, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them." And so God instituted this, and he said, "This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Hivrechecha Adonai v'hishmarecha. Ya'e Adonai panavelecha v'ikunecha. Hisa Adonai panavelecha v'asem lecha shalom." That's the blessing in Hebrew. We have it there on the overhead, actually, in the next slide, is the actual Hebrew itself. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Whenever you want to bless someone, I suggest you use this prayer. Why? God wrote it. God wrote this prayer. Now, there's a lot of beautiful prayers in the Bible. Prayers that godly men have prayed. Prayers like Nehemiah's prayer, wonderful prayer, and Jeremiah's prayer in the New Testament too. But here is a prayer that God wrote. And if God wrote it, it has to be powerful, right? And this is also interestingly linked with another prayer that was written by Jesus. That is the Lord's Prayer, or as we sometimes call it, the Disciples' Prayer. That is also a prayer written by God, or written by Jesus himself. So it's a very powerful prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the Lord's Prayer. Now, this is linked in some way because God wrote these prayers, and I think those are the only two prayers in the Bible directly written by God. Now, let's have a look at this blessing of the priests, the Bekat Kohanim. Now, the priests were the sons of Aaron, Moses' brother, Aaron. Only Aaron and his descendants could be the high priests. They are the ones who were allowed to bless the children of Israel. So this Bekat Kohanim goes right back to, of course, early Bible times. And it's been passed down faithfully through the generations. And this blessing is still used in the synagogues today. Now, there's several references to the use of this priestly blessing in the Bible, many references. But in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22, we read about this. "Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people, and he blessed them." Now, I know Pentecostals think they invented the raising of the hands. But, you know, we were doing it 4,000 years ago, raising the hands and blessing the people. And this priestly blessing was always done with the raising of the hands. And for that reason, it's also called the Nesiat Kapayim, which is the prayer of the raising of the hands. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8, it says, "At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in his name, as they still do today." And so remember that there were 12 tribes. One particular tribe, the tribe of Levi, was set aside as the servants of the Lord, as the priestly tribe. So the sons of Aaron were the great high priests, the Kohanim. And then the Levites were the helpers in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And so the priests ministered on behalf of the people to the Lord and behalf of the Lord to the people. Now in the temple, this blessing was used. When the temple was built, the blessing was pronounced three times a day. It was a central part of the temple. And there were rules on how this blessing should be pronounced. And it was pronounced, first of all, after the morning sacrifice. Now, the priest actually recited this blessing. He wouldn't use the word that we now use, Adonai. He used God's sacred name. Now, God's sacred name is in Hebrew, Yud, He, Vav, He. That's all the four letters that we have. Yud, He, Vav, He. But we don't know anymore how to pronounce that. Why? Because this name was considered so holy, so sacred, and because of the commandment, do not misuse the name of the Lord, they wouldn't use God's name anymore because they were scared to misuse it. And so they also didn't want people who were unworthy of God's blessing to receive a blessing by the pronouncing of the name. So the name was not used anymore for around 200 years before Jesus. 200 years before Jesus, the name of God, the sacred name of God, was no longer used. And in its place, the name of God or the designation of God, Adonai, was used. Now, if you look in your Bible, in the Old Testament, whenever you see Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, that is referring to this name. In Hebrew, all we have is Yud, He, Vav, He. So people have guessed, how do we pronounce the name of God? Well, you might know that Jehovah was a guess and was very popular, and we sang Jehovah Jireh today. Another way that people guess of the name of God is Yahweh or Yahweh. Might be a little bit more accurate, but we still don't know. One day, we will find out how to pronounce it properly. In the meantime, Lord is used in its place. Now, still today, the priestly blessing is pronounced in synagogues by those who are from the priestly tribe. Now my grandfather was from the priestly tribe. And so in the synagogue services, the priest or those who are from the priestly tribe during the service at one stage will will stand up and pronounce God's blessing. And he first would say this prayer. Our God and God of our fathers, blessed us with the threefold blessing which is in the Torah, written by Moses thy servant, by Aaron and his sons, the priests, thy holy people. And then he would raise his hands to bless the congregation. Now all the other men in the congregation would stand up, and I didn't bring with me this morning my prayer shawl, but men would cover their heads with a prayer shawl. And the young kids would come under the father's prayer shawl. And when the priest blessed the people, no one was allowed to actually look at the priests, at the people who were doing the blessing. They were meant to cover their eyes, either with the prayer shawl or hide under the prayer shawl. Now, when the priest blesses the people, he would hold his hands in a special way. He would do it in a way that I can't. The fingers would be like that. Can you separate your fingers like that? No, but your thumb has to be right next to it, like that. No, your thumb has to be there, and these fingers there, like that. All right? See what I'm doing? Like that. So the priest would raise his hands like this. Why this configuration? Sorry, I can't do it. Stupid fingers. That represents the letter in Hebrew, Shin. The letter Shin. And that represents the name of God, Shaddai, Almighty God. Now, did you know that Leonard Nimoy was Jewish? He is the original Dr. Spock. Now, he obviously peeped through his father's prayer shawl and saw the priest doing this to bless the people. And so when they were trying to find a special hand salute for the Vulcan hand salute, he came up with the idea of the what now is known as the Vulcan hand salute, something like that, eh? All right, So all the Dr. Spock and Star Wars fans, that's where it comes from. The Vulcan hand salute, but originally was, of course, the blessing of the priests. Okay, let's have a look a little bit closer. Verses 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The first part of that blessing, Hivarechecha Adonai v'hishmarecha. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word baracha, blessing, means a blessing in particular as well for material success. The Lord give you prosperity. This success is not just monetary success though. So people get very focused on money as far as success goes, but and prosperity goes, but there's a lot more to prosperity than money, right? There's a whole lot of life that needs to be blessed and prosperous, not just financial. So this is a blessing for all of life's endeavors. Blessing in your home, blessing in the field, blessing, of course, in your workplace too, but blessing in your personal life. And so may the Lord bless you, give you prosperity in all of life. The second is, may he keep you. So may he bless you and then keep you. And this is a call for God not only to prosper, but to guard you, to keep you. May he not only bless you and give you the increase, but may he help you to keep that increase. And that's something that requires much more than just simply winning the tax lotto or something stupid like that, right? Because that can give you a lot of increase, but people then don't know how to look after that increase, and it actually turns out to be a curse to them. So when God blesses you, he wants to also give us guardianship over what he blesses us with so that we could keep that blessing. So God wants to bless us, but he also preserve us to enjoy that blessing. So may God bless you and keep you. In other words, may he guard you and keep you from loss. Okay, now the Apostle Paul talked about God's blessings. And what are we to do with God's blessings when he blesses us? I love this verse, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Rabbi Shaul, we call him, Rabbi Shaul. You know that Paul, the apostle, was a rabbi before he became a believer in Jesus. And this is what he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, but to put their hope in wealth, which is, Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So when God blesses you, it's part of his covenant with us, but also to keep us in that blessing. And what do we do with it? We are to do good deeds with our with the blessing that God gives us. You can't take your money with you, right? But you can take good deeds with you to the next, to the world to come, to heaven, if you like. The good deeds that you do will remain. The good things that you do in the name of Jesus will remain. You don't have the opportunity to take money with you, of course, but you can do a lot of good deeds in Jesus' name and witness to people, love people, do good for people, and that is something that is taken into the next life and will be a blessing in the future, forever. And so where are you investing your time and your money? That's a question for each one of us. The first blessing has to do with material success so that our spiritual blessings may abound. It's another verse, beautiful verse, Psalm 121, verse 7. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forever. Let's look at the second blessing. Now, the first blessing was actually just three words in Hebrew, only three words. The second blessing actually is five words in Hebrew. Ya'eh Adonai panav elecha vikunecha. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. It's quite a few more words in English, but just five words in Hebrew. So may the Lord make His face shine upon you. His face in Hebrew is panim. Now, this is what we call anthropomorphism. It's a terrible word, isn't it? Anthropomorphism. It's not Hebrew. This is it's probably Greek, I think, isn't it? It means given to God, who is spirit, a bodily a functional word. So when God speaks of God's hand, now God doesn't physically have a hand. God is spirit. So it's just so that we can understand God. We can understand what the Bible's talking about. God's face. What is God's face? Well, when God shows His face to us or shines His face towards us, He is showing us His favor, His blessing, His favor. When He shines His face upon us, we are seeing His blessing and His favor upon us. God's affection, God's kindness. Of course, when Jesus came, He took on flesh. So that was different, but that's when God became flesh. Before, God the Father continues, of course, as spirit. But when He looks at us, it means He's shown His favor towards us. Psalm 31, verse 16. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. So remember that this priestly blessing is a blessing given to a people who are in covenant with God, who are in relationship with God. And so now God wants to show His face towards us. Psalm 80, verse 3. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. Now God has shone His face to us in Jesus. When Jesus became flesh, we beheld the glory of God in flesh. And so it says in 2 Corinthians, for it is the God who once said, let light shine out of darkness, who has made His light shine in our hearts, the light of the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Messiah Jesus. What a beautiful scripture. So the opposite of God shining in His face towards us is God hiding His face from us. We don't want to have that, right? You don't want God to hide His face from us. And the fact is, when God is angry, He hides His face from us. That is obviously the way that He has dealt with people. If God, if we are sinning, God's face is hidden from us. So sin causes God to hide His face from us. Isaiah 59:2, I think just two scriptures on. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. We don't want to be in that position where God hides His face from us. If you are in that position, what you have to do is repent of your sin. Turn to Jesus for forgiveness of your sin. And ask God to cleanse you and to restore His relationship with you. And He does forgive us. For God is faithful that if we confess our sins, He is righteous and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you are finding that God is hiding from you, repent of your sins and turn back to Him. The third blessing. Hissa Adonai panav alecha v'esem lecha shalom. That is seven words in Hebrew. 3, 5, 7. And makes up 12 words altogether in Hebrew. The seven-word blessing is the last blessing. It's three sections. Seven is a number for completion. Seventh day is the Sabbath day. It's the completion of the week. God, of course, rested on the seventh day after creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So seven is the word for complete or the number for completion. And so God, who wrote this particular blessing, the Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom. Shalom. What is shalom? It's a beautiful Hebrew word. It doesn't just mean hello. It doesn't just mean peace. It is a whole lot of meanings. The word shalom is very full. It means good health, length of days, completeness, wholeness, just blessing in general. And God wants to give us shalom in our homes, shalom in our souls, shalom in our workplace, and shalom in this world. And so God is disposed towards us to bless us and give us His peace. And remember, one of the names of the Messiah would be Sar Shalom, that is Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And He doesn't give us peace the way the world gives. He gives us peace that is eternal. Amen. Okay, now where's the power from this prayer? There's the power in this prayer. Where is it? It's beautiful words, beautiful meanings, but I would say that the power of this prayer comes in verse 27, where God said to the priests that they were to pronounce this blessing upon the Israelites, and says in Numbers 6:27, the Lord said, "Vesamu et shmi al bnei Israel v'ani avachem." So they will put my name upon the Israelites. That is the power of this blessing. God puts His name upon His people. What does it mean when God puts His name upon His people? It means that His reputation is tied up with us. That He owns us, that He blesses us, that He puts His name on us, that we walk with the name of God on us. And that is the power of the priestly blessing. It's actually tied up with God's name. God's name is powerful. God's name is awesome. And therefore, when He puts His name upon us, that is the ultimate blessing. And this is the core of the priestly blessing, is the essence of God's name. And what is God's name? Remember I said we don't know how to pronounce it anymore. But of course, in Hebrew, it's Yiheh Asher Yiheh. As well. It means I am who I am. We said to Moses in Exodus 3 verses 14 to 15, when Moses said, "Who should I say has sent me?" God was sending Moses back to Egypt. Moses said to God, "Who should I say who sent me?" And God says, "I am who I am. Yiheh Asher Yiheh." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am Yiheh has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So when God, when Moses is asked God for his name, he doesn't say, "Oh, my name is John, James, you know, Tom." He gives us a name that is just full of incredible meaning and divine mystery. And God really shows us that He is the source of all blessings. He is I am who I am. He is the self-existing one. He is the one who always was and always is and always will be. Everything came to existence through Him. Now remember, as I said, we don't know how to pronounce that in Hebrew, the Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh, but really, when we invoke the name of God upon people, when we pray for them and put God's blessing upon them and His name upon them, we put in the name, the power of God's name upon them. Now, who has been given the name above every other name? Jesus. So we had a song earlier. That's a beautiful name, Jesus. So how could God have this most powerful name and Jesus have this most beautiful name, the name above all names? Well, that's because in the beauty and the unity of the Trinity that Jesus shares in God's name. And that the name of Jesus is not in competition with the name of Yahweh or God, because they have a beautiful unity and complete unity within the Trinity together with the Holy Spirit. And so, in fact, I like the threefold blessing. The threefold blessing speaks of the triune nature of God. Threefold blessing, the three persons of the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the source of all blessing. The Lord Jesus is the one who makes His face shine upon us. And the Holy Spirit lifts up His countenance upon us and gives us His peace. Amen. Okay, we shall finish. So, be blessed to be a blessing. When God gives us His blessing, it's not just for ourselves, right? We are being blessed so we go out to be a blessing to the whole world. So let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness to us, for your love and for your grace, Lord, for the desire that you have to bless us. And Lord, this blessing that was first given to the Jewish people now is also given to each one of us who believe in Jesus, because we're all part of the new covenant together. And Lord, this blessing that was first given to the priests is now given to all of us who believe in Jesus, because all of us are part of the priesthood of God. And all of us are called to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And so we share in your blessings and your callings with Israel. And so Lord, I pray for your blessing upon your people today. Hivrechecha Adonai v'hishmarecha. Yaye Adonai panav alecha v'kunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'asem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Tzah Shalom. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.